Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Contain that should be written. So here we are a week later, on Sunday, and we read this passage again, and we read up at the point where Thomas, one of the 12, who was not with them, they say, "We saw the Lord," and he says, "I will not believe unless I can put my hands into the print of the nails, and I can put my hand into the spear wound in his side. Unless I can see those things and do those things, I will not believe." That's where we ended last week, on Vespers, right? So today, we read that again, and then we pick up. After 8 days, that's today, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas, this time, is with them. Thomas is with them. They're again behind the doors that are shut and locked. And again, Jesus comes to them and stands in the midst of them and says, again, "Peace be unto you." Then, since Thomas is there this time, and Jesus, being God, knows all things, responds to Thomas, "Reach here, take your finger," and he invites him to test. We have this saying in English, we call someone a doubting Thomas if they don't believe things. But we have to distinguish maybe between kinds of doubt, right? We have to distinguish between that which is faithlessness and that which simply seeks to explore what is revealed. Because the Lord does not appear to the disciples at this point and say to Thomas, "You fool, you should have believed the other disciples." He appears to Thomas and he offers him the proof that Thomas said he required. So there's something unique about this doubt that Thomas exhibits on the first day. Thomas says, "I will not believe unless I can put my finger into the hole that the nails made and put my hand into the hole that the spear made. Then I will believe." And when the Lord, when he appears to him, he says, "Thomas, look here. Put your finger into the hole the nails made. and put your hand into this hole in my side that the spear made. And do not be faithless, but believing. The Lord appears wearing those same wounds. He appears to the disciples wearing the same wounds that he endured on the cross. And we might ask, why does he do that? The Lord now bears his body, his human body, glorified by absolute deification. The human body is in Jesus Christ most perfectly united to divinity. It is glorified. It is incorruptible. His human body does not grow sick. It does not grow old. It does not die. He is risen from the dead. Those things which still have a grip on us have no hold over him. And yet he appears to his disciples still with these wounds, still with the hole of the nails in his hands and in his feet, still with the hole that the spear made in his side. Some of the fathers respond to that and they say, well, first of all, it was necessary as a reminder to his disciples of the cost of their redemption. It was necessary that they be reminded what the Lord endured for their sake. But some other fathers say that he bears his wounds like the martyrs bear their wounds. And I think it was Cyprian's partner for Cyril of Alexandria, one of those two, those C names I get mixed up, forgive me, said that the martyrs in the resurrection will appear with the wounds they endure for Christ's sake. And those wounds will no longer be the disfigurement of torture, but rather glowing with the glory of God as badges of honor. Badges of honor of the victory that they won for Christ's sake. And it's in this way that the Lord appears with the wounds of the spear and the wounds of the nails. They are the badges of victory. The victory that he has accomplished over the realm of sin and death. And so he appears to Thomas and he says, come here and touch the print of the nails. Come here and touch the hole that the spear made in my side. See that I am victorious over death. I bear the wounds of death in my body and yet I live. Behold, be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas immediately exclaims a very profound exclamation. Rather than saying something like, wow, now I believe, he says, he makes a confession of faith. My Lord and my God. The doubt of Thomas is cured. He no longer wonders whether or not Jesus actually rose from the dead. In seeing him and in handling him, he is convinced not just that Jesus is risen from the dead, but that he is also God. He confesses the two natures of Jesus Christ. My Lord, that is his human nature. My God, that is his divine nature. There are others who doubted Christ, whom the Lord did not treat quite this way. There are others who he upbraided, he rebuked for their faithlessness. And yet he does not rebuke Thomas for his faithlessness. I think this is an important thing for us to understand because sometimes we ourselves are also stricken with doubt. Sometimes we are also doubting. And if we are undiscerning, we may be more troubled by doubt than we ought to be. Because sometimes we suffer with doubt and we think, I must be faithless. Sometimes doubts strike us and we think, I must be faithless. My faith isn't strong enough. My faith isn't able to carry me through. But that's not the meaning of this passage with Thomas. Thomas doubts, and we're not told why. We can assume a couple of things, or we can try to read into the text if we want to. Maybe he doubts because of the overwhelming joy. Maybe he doubts because he wants to believe, but the fear of coming up, of believing and then having that belief shattered is too overwhelming. It's too much to endure. But whatever the case, his doubt is not something which indicates faithlessness. He doesn't doubt the teachings of Jesus. He doesn't doubt that he was the Messiah. He simply doubts that this particular thing has come to pass. Remember the zeal of Thomas. When Jesus said, "I'm going to go back to Judea," before he went to raise Lazarus from the dead, Thomas is the one who said, "Let's go with him so that at least we can die with him." I don't think that it's for you and me, I don't think you and I can actually doubt the faith of Thomas. His doubt expresses something else. An intense desire, maybe, to really experience the truth of the matter. And for us, I think oftentimes it can be the case as well. Sometimes we experience some doubt, but that doubt should always be a spur, a provocation to us to seek from God the true experience of things, to seek a deeper understanding, to seek a more true experience. And these are not bad things. Sometimes it's necessary for us to suffer through these things. Sometimes it's necessary for us to experience some doubt. But you probably know from your own experience, there's a doubt which comes which is not the doubt of faithlessness. It's the doubt of desire. The doubt which drives us to pray more fervently. So it's obviously not a doubt in the existence of God. A doubt which drives us to pray more fervently, to strive harder, to do more of what is within our own power, to fulfill the commandments of Christ. And that doubt becomes for us, ultimately, what brings us to a greater reassurance of the workings of Jesus Christ. He appeared to Thomas, showed him his hands and his side. Thomas makes a confession of faith, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." This is you and me, my brothers and sisters. Those who have not seen the evidence which Thomas saw, and yet we believe, based on the words of Thomas and all the other apostles, that Jesus Christ truly is risen from the dead. To him be all glory, honor, and worship on the ages of ages. Amen. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.